This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football guys are loving Lima's idea. More on that in just a few moments. I want to get to Alan first about the Eastern Conference, about the Cavs real quick, because I do think that there's a lot of pressure on Evan Mobley, but I got to tell you, I can stand down. I think that the basketball eventually runs through Evan. I don't think that Donovan could do much without Evan. I do think that he's an undersized guard. I think he's a great player. I love the Donovan, and I know that he is the national star. So because he's the national star, we're going to put a lot of pressure on him. However, I just don't think that there's that much he can do without Evan Mobley. So quietly, because everything Evan does is quiet, I think quietly the pressure is on Evan. Let me get to Alan in Cleveland. Alan, you're first up in the fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning. What I wanted to share with you guys is, like, you know, the opponents that we could face at eight, you know, like, I kind of rank them. Like, I think the number one least favorite opponent I want to face is Miami Heat, you know, because of, obviously, Spoelstra. That roster, you know, it has a great blend of, like, wings and length, you know, that I think could give us problems. I don't think they'll beat us or anything, but it definitely would be a physical series. And then, of course, Orlando, even though they can't score.
Alan, do you listen to the show?
Yeah.
Well, we power rank on the show.
Power rank him, Alan. Let's go.
So, yeah, number one, I definitely, like I said, the Heat. Number two would definitely be Orlando, even though physical. Number three, it will be the Hawks, even though that would be an up-and-down series. You know, they beat us a couple times. They not fear us. And then lastly, of course, the Bulls. I think that'll be a cakewalk series. But to answer your question, who has the most pressure, for me, I think it's Jared Allen to be a present, to rebound. You know, remember, he's always beat up for that toughness. And as I like, I think one of our advantages against the Celtics could be a physical Jared Allen who is dominant in the post, you know, rebounding, altering shots. I think Jared Allen, to me, is that X factor.
So I think that that's a hell of a point, Alan. Thank you very much. Because I know that these last couple of outings in the postseason, you know, I didn't even think about him. The last couple of outings in the postseason have not been fun for Jared Allen. For one way or the other, whether it be with the toughness thing with the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson laughing his ass off, or last year with the whole thing about the shot.
We be honest, Knicks series was embarrassing. It was a setback for Jared Allen. Really, it was a setback for everybody in that organization. But I feel like, God, it's so weird because he's been such a great story for the Cavs. All-time coup, how Kobe Altman got him. And, you know, I know there were things said about him last year by, you know, one player out the door and maybe one coach out the door, if you read between the lines. And then all he did was come back this year. He played in every single game and responded to any, not that he gets a ton of criticism.
Hey, that was really
like that.
Personal for him too, about responding to that and playing in all 82 about the toughness.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, every time out there, and my God, look at his, his shooting percentage. I mean, 70% on the year, Kenny. 70%. So there's somebody that understands what his role is, knows where he should be and shouldn't be on the floor at all times. And, you know, he even took in stride. There were some games he got benched in the fourth quarter. We don't use that term. Normally that term is a disparaging term. You got benched in the fourth quarter. They don't look at it that way, or at least they haven't during the regular season. Jared Allen didn't complain about it or anything like that. Like, yeah, they went in a route where they thought they had a better opportunity to win the game because of matchups. So I do think you'll see that. I do think it's going to be really intriguing to see how much is Kenny Atkinson going to rely on the two bigs, how much is he going to stagger them, and what does it look like in a close game down the stretch?
Zach Jackson coming up at 7:22. I want to ask him who the Browns should avoid at all costs. So football guys, by the way, texted me yesterday. They love your idea. You hate it. You hate it that they love it.
I do. It makes me want to do an about face.
Lima's idea was, hey, all this stuff about Travis Hunter, which, by the way, did you see the Field Yates stuff that the Browns posted?
I'm seeing everybody. Everybody in the last week has now said things I haven't heard all year about Travis Hunter, which is he is not only the best overall player in this draft, bar none. Like, he's not a quarterback, so he's not going to go one. But he's the best overall player in the draft. We do know he's all-time versatile. Like, come on. I mean, a guy that rates as high as he does as a corner and a wide receiver, that is special. Like, I get that. But I keep asking people, just as a wide receiver, just tell me where you have him. And I'm not getting what people are saying recently, which is he's like one of the best receiver prospects they've ever seen.
I think they look at the overall talent and they think, you know, in 2023,
like,
there was
a lot.
You guys
had all year to say this.
Well, but I also think in 2023, there was a lot based on athleticism. You were just the best athlete on the field in some cases.
He was.
In a lot of cases,
awesome,
obviously.
Athlete.
And then you get to 2024 and it's like, okay, there's route running here. There's a tree here. He has such a better, and I know that he's been playing with Shador Sanders for a while, but there seemed to be much better rapport with Shador Sanders there. So I think that that helped. I think that that's what people are getting excited about with Travis Hunter. I will admit, if he were in other drafts, like if he were in a Jeremiah Smith wide receiver class, well, yeah, obviously things are going to be different there. But I do think that you can only take for what you have right now, and a lot of people like him. But your idea was, hey, there's so much of this, it might just be a smokescreen. Why not get everybody excited about Travis Hunter, find a way to trade out of it, and then trade down a little bit and go after Mason Graham, which you hated that idea if you were 2018 tone, less on the line tone, freewheeling tone. I got a text from a lot of football guys, bona fide football guys, who loved your idea. Yesterday and even this morning, guys who loved your idea. Real authentic football
like
coaches who draw paychecks and feed their families by football.
Now I definitely
loved your idea.
The reason I say that is I've always thought, you know, during that time, I thought the Browns were so scared to take chances. And then here I am. I am now the conservative one in this, in talking about these things. And so
doesn't that make you feel good, though?
No, it
doesn't.
These
are real football coaches.
Now, part of the calculus, you got to remember, part of the calculus is it's not just trade down for no reason. It's not like we're not getting anything in return. The point is that we're also going to be even fortified more in this draft, and then, more importantly, next year's draft. Next year's draft is that one that, you know, while there's always going to be good players in every draft, next year's draft, because of the quarterbacks, it's going to push all these really good players down. And then the blue chippers. There's even more blue chippers in next year's draft. So all those blue chippers are going to be sitting there. Into the second round, you're going to be able to get great players.
What you do satiates everybody. What your idea is, see, I'm starting to get more excited about your idea, and I'm like, we got to just draft Travis Hunter at number two, and let's all move on from it. Because your idea, it makes everybody happy in some way. There will be some pain, but you make everybody happy in the long term. Because I can't deny, I think that Mason Graham's going to be a fine football player for the next decade. I also won't deny that he ain't helping you win nothing this year. I mean, you'll be able to stop the run a little bit better, and maybe if you don't turn the ball over. I mean, everybody plays a role. That's why you draft a guy, for crying out loud. But we all say we need playmakers. We all say we need guys. We got to get this offense going. It was the worst we've had since 99. But I can also say, in the grand scheme of things, he ain't helping you win any games. And I think with a lot of fans, I think secretly, I think they're fine with it. I think that's why we celebrated Joe Flacco being back so much. Because it's like, hey, we know we're not going to be that great. We might as well enjoy the guys we have. So it's like, hey, if Nick Chubb comes back and he runs for 1,200 yards, or if he runs for 300 yards, doesn't matter, at least it's a guy we like. Because I think in your scenario, hey, we had a quality football player. We're not better than what we were last year. People that they don't really care for would probably be gone. And then you can draft a quarterback and really get going. I mean, your idea, as conservative and as
boring
as it may be, that gets a lot of people excited. And remember, football guys just like football players. So they know that Mason Graham's just a good, solid football player. So that's why I'm getting texts and it's getting their bowls running over the last 24 hours based on what you said yesterday.
But then, of course, you got to be okay when you do that. You're going to be monitoring the other guys that you passed up, and you're going to be monitoring what kind of careers, because that's what we did with Julio Jones.
Yes, it's indeed what we did. And it's, by the way, it's also what we did when it came to Bradley Chubb. I mean, two can play that game.
Yeah.
You remember that first year, we're like, I guess we'd rather have Bradley Chubb. Well, who looks like they're smart now? I mean, Bradley Chubb, often injured, rotational, Denzel Ward, also often injured, but one of the best in the game. If he had a nickname like Sauce Gardner, I think he would have got a lot more run for being the best in the game in 2023 or 2024. Just because he doesn't have a cool nickname, they didn't want to say that. I do want to throw this out there before we get Zach coming up at 7:22. I did get a lot of people, and I think that there is something to Shedeur Sanders later on in the first round. I wonder if he doesn't make it past New Orleans. I'm hearing more about Jackson Dart now. I think people are looking for their own Bo Nix, the way that a lot of organizations mm-hmm. might have been looking for their own Cooper DeJean after the Super Bowl last year, because that's what a lot of teams do. I know that there's not a lot of people who want to take Shedeur Sanders number two now. That's fine. Totally fine. Fine. I stand down on that, guys. Totally stand down. But you can't say you don't want Shedeur Sanders, then all of a sudden, and I heard this yesterday afternoon, I'm not going to say by who, but you can't say you don't want Shedeur Sanders, then all of a sudden start to tell me scary stories about the Pittsburgh Steelers being at number 21. It doesn't work like that. I mean, if you really go back to it, Ben Roethlisberger started his career with Bill Cowher. That's where Ben Roethlisberger started his career. Their last first-round pick at quarterback is on our roster. So I can't sit there. If you don't like Shedeur Sanders, then you don't like Shedeur Sanders. Or you're willing to draft back into the first round for a deal that makes sense. I can't let the Steelers scare the bejesus out of me and say, well, now all of a sudden. No. I know a lot of people look at the Steelers like a boogeyman. We have to hold firm on this. If you don't like Shedeur Sanders, I respect you on it. Fine, we can discuss it. But I can't sit there and start to scare people and speak out of both sides of my mouth and scare people about the Pittsburgh Steelers being there when it's not something I believe. Who's a quarterback that they've developed? Who's a good offensive coordinator that they've really had? I like Arthur Smith because he'll run the football, but who is he really developing? So how can I say, as a radio show host, and I heard this yesterday, how can I make people afraid of the Pittsburgh Steelers while also saying, we can pass up on Shedeur Sanders early, and then we have to jump back into the first round ahead of the Steelers? Why? Why do I have to jump ahead in the Steelers? If I'm willing to pass on Shedeur Sanders there, I'm willing to wait for him to get to a level that I'm comfortable with. If you're comfortable at 18, fine. But if you're comfortable more at 24, because that's where the Minnesota Vikings are drafting, and maybe they'd like more first round, maybe they'd like more picks in the draft because they have a very few amount of picks. Maybe the Vikings would like the picks, and now all of a sudden you're at 24 and you're thinking, hey, maybe I can move up with them. Maybe that makes more sense, then fine. You got to be willing to do that, Anthony.
No, I get it. I'm with you on that entire logic. I just am surprised coming from you, if you like Shedeur as much as you have said that you did, that then you wouldn't trade up ahead of them and be nervous if the Steelers got him in the second round, later in the first round.
But I like Shedeur. I like Shedeur, and I'm willing to jump back in if I really have to. But at the same, because now we have Joe Flacco, but I'm not going to let the Steelers scare me out of it. I think the Steelers are just as devoid of developing anybody at quarterback as anybody says the Browns are right now. And the only difference is the colors in the history, which are significant, obviously.